Ramadan Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Al Ansar International, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah, to this edition of the Q&A, kindly and generously brought to you by the Capital Group with our esteemed Amir and resident Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafizahullah, whom we have online at the moment. Now, if you are a local listener and you have a question, then the number is 084-786-3132. And if you are an international listener, then you could WhatsApp your question to +2784-786-3132. Our next question, Mufti Saab, could you inform us about the amount that we must pay for fitrah this year?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, for this year 1445, 2024, so 1445 Islamic calendar, 2024 Gregorian calendar, for fitrah, sadaqatul fitr, is 40 rand per person. An Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zakat al-fitri. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it compulsory. So it is compulsory. Hanafis say wajib, Shafis, Malikis, Hanbali say first. So it is academic discussion, but it means first is compulsory. So zakat al-fitri, you can call it sadaqat al-fitr or zakat al-fitr. These are synonymous and both have the same meaning. And that will be, why must you pay it? Tuhratal lisa'im min al-lagwi wa rafath, so that whilst we were fasting, we saw wrong things, we spoke wrong things, we heard wrong things, so it will purify and cleanse us and so forth. Even now you can pay it. So 40 rand for you, for your wife 40 rand, for your three children, so you pay 200 rand. But if you're paying for your wife or your children, then you must tell them, especially if the children are baligh and mature, that inform them that you are paying it on their behalf and so forth. So that is how it will work and must be given to poor Muslims only. So that is, and the second reason, وَتُؤْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ, and it is there to empower the poor Muslims. فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبْلَ الْإِيدِ وَقَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الْإِيدِ فَيَا زَكَاةٌ مَقْبُولَةٌ, then it is accepted charity. So pay now also is fine. Likewise, the fidya. Fidya will be people, two categories, they're so advanced in age, they don't have the taqat, the strength, the quwwat and stamina to fast. They're 80, 90, 100 years old or more. So Quran Sharif teaches us, Surah 2, verse 184, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتْرِقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ تَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. يُتْرِقُونَهُ means لا يُتْرِقُونَهُ. They don't have the taqat and strength, so they will pay fidya, same 40 rand it will be. And wherever else you are in the world, work on $2 as the minimum. So that will be an easy guideline for you. And all this money must be given to poor Muslims. Allah Jalla Wala accept our siyam, our qiyam, our fasting, our taraweeh, our tilawat, all our good deeds through His grace and His mercy.
Can I drink Bors Druppels, a Dutch medicine for a persistent irritating cough?
Not permissible. When I was young, and you know, I told you 100 times now that our shop was in front, our house at the back, and we were surrounded, they must remember, is an African township, African location. So we were very few Muslims, Indian families there and so forth. Whites, there was hardly anybody. So you know, maybe one, two in isolated places, you know. So then apartheid came and they kicked everybody out and what have you. So the point you must remember is this, that there in our shop at that time there, that I should remember these bottles there, these Bors Druppels and this and all that, Royal Fenter and I don't know what and what and what. Dutch medicine, they used to call it that time. So if you see most of them, I won't say all of them, but if you see most of them, then remember they contain some amount of alcohol. So therefore, for you, for your persistent cough and so forth, to take this, we will not recommend it. Once there are alternatives, you must use the alternative. Second, Secondly, this is not a matter of life and death. So therefore, cough is something normal, even if it is persisting and so forth. So use honey, use medication that don't have any alcohol and so forth. Quran Sharif teaches us, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Read the Quran Sharif also. Remember, that is shifa. عَلَيْكُمْ بِشِفَاءَيْنِ. Nabi alayhi salam said, hadith in Ibn Majah, one is Quran and one is al-asl, the honey. We're not suggesting for a moment you must not take the medication from the doctors, but we are objecting on that medication where the ingredients is alcohol. So we need to understand that that is what we are objecting on, and therefore we will say that that you must abstain from.
And Mufti Saab, explain the difference between fidya and kafara, firstly. Secondly, how much do we pay for fidya and how much for kafara? And thirdly, can we give these to non-Muslims?
Okay, this three-part question, the difference between fidya and kafara. We are in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. People who are chronically ill, the whole life now from the 20, 40, 60, 80 years old, right till they die, so they won't be able to fast. That is what the doctor's prognosis and what they say and so forth. So in a case like that, you have to pay fidya. And remember that the fidya is 40 rand per som and per fast, so 1,200 rand, and that must be given to poor Muslims. Go give it out yourself, leave these organizations, most of them also mufatiyas, just pocketing the money and so forth and so on. So how many organizations you see today, how many messages I get, please advertise for us, please send out, we don't send out anybody besides Majlis and one, two others. So remember that we don't have confidence in them. So therefore you must be very, very careful. So fidya is a compensation for people who are very, very old or chronically ill, permanently ill. Kafara is now, Ramadan, Sunday afternoon, you and your wife, you are resting, then gravity came, gravitation, you started coming nearer, 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 and then you started kissing, fondling, and then you went all the way, A to Z, big explosion took place, big bang took place. So in a case like that, one qadha is compulsory, and for desecrating the sanctity of Ramadan, 60 consecutive fasts are compulsory. So if you fast after Eid, you must make sure before Eidul Adha, all 60 must be done. Otherwise, leave it for after Eidul Adha and Ayyamul Tashriq. And then from there afterwards, Muharram or any second part of Dhul Hijjah, you start the 60 fast and so forth. So 60 consecutive fasts must be kept for desecrating the sanctity of Ramadan. So that is kafara. So fidya, compensation. Kafara, a penalty. So that is what is meant. Next one, so that's the difference. What is the amount? We told you 40 rand per fast you must pay. And in kafara, there's no payment. You must keep the fast. Yes, you can't manage because you're old or sickly or whatever. Then you must feed 60 poor people. 60 poor Muslims you must feed. And morning, evening, and so forth. So you must give them each 40, 50 rand or the food and so forth. Make them the owner. And the next one will be, can this money, the fitra, the fidya, the kafara, if you are feeding, can they be given to non-Muslims? No, it must be given to poor Muslims only who are entitled to receive zakat. So that is the long and short of the question that you posed.
In our next question, would it be permissible for a woman who is experiencing a menstrual cycle to sit in the courtyard of the haram or al-Masjid al-Nabawi or Masjid al-Aqsa?
All haram. Yesterday also this question came. I answered it in detail. And I told you about Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, how she left Medina Munawwara with the intention of Umrah. But before she reached Makkah, her napaki, her haiz, her menses started, and she could not perform the Umrah before Hajj. And she then made Faskhul Umrah ila al-Hajj, and she only made Ifrad Hajj. And then when it was time of departure on the 14th night, then she went to perform Umrah with the brother Abdul Rahman. That is Nabi alayhi salatu salam told her, do that. So it shows for women to enter the masjid or the courtyard whilst they are in menses. Aqsa al-Mubarak, all 36 acres are part of the haram, remember that, of Masjid al-Aqsa. And there in Madinah Munawwara, all these umbrellas you see, all that there is all part of Masjid al-Nabawi. You can't be parking there under the umbrella and saying, no, I am Haiza, therefore I'm sitting here in the shade, but I'm not entering. But you're already inside, so it's not permissible. So from outside you read Salat and Salam, from your hotel or from outside the fence and so forth. From there you read Durood Sharif, Salawat, Istighfar, La Kalima Tayyiba, La Ilaha Illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You read La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. You make dua. So all that you will do, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy.
I got a certain amount of money for a year already. However, I took over a business a month before I normally pay my zakah. It was agreed that I make monthly payments with no interest until paid off. The business is twice the amount, the money I have. How do I work out zakah that's due now?
Okay, my brother, we'll come to your question. In Islam, when people want to embrace Islam, we must do that immediately. Everything else can wait. So yeah, our brother Ibrahim Anderson sent a message now, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti, and all listeners, help us with shahada of 25 people from Zululand, 11 males, 14 females, affidavits done. We are ready and waiting, Ibrahim Anderson. Mashallah, mashallah, my brother Ibrahim Anderson. We made dua for you, tahajjud time, we made dua for you, other salat times also. And because you bring bushra to us, bushra, glad tidings and good news. You are my 25 brothers, sisters there in Zululand. Hani an lakum, we salute you. You should know the virtues of embracing Islam. Chapter number 8, Surah Anfal, verse 38. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَلْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Tell the non-Muslims, if they embrace Islam sincerely and they love with Islam and pass away with Islam, their sins of the past are forgiven. Meaning that all the salat they must, all the fast they must, all the zakat, all that of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is forgiven out of the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. He Habibuna Mustafa Rasul Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba who embraced Islam, they were mushrikeen or following some other religion, Christianity, Judaism, whatever. Innal Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam expunges and erases the sins of the past. Open Mishkat Sharif, you will find it there. So come, my brothers, sisters, that 11 brothers and 14 sisters, and you, my brother, lucky that you're going to make the podcast. I want this clip separately, so you must do it like how we did last week also, that, you know, you use the Q&A advert and then inshallah. So 25 people embrace Islam, some heading there that we write inshallah. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, it will inspire, motivate many other people inshallah al-Aziz. So let us now read for you, brothers, sisters, in Arabic, and you will repeat after me. Ashhadu, ashhadu, Allah, Allah, ilaha, ilaha, illallahu, illallahu, wa ashahadu, anna, anna, muhammadan, muhammadan, abduhu, abduhu, wa rasuluh, So that is now you are Muslim and Muslima, my brothers and sisters. Allah reward you. I'll read the translation in English and you repeat it after me. I bear witness that truly there is none worthy of worship, that there is none worthy of worship except Almighty Allah, except Almighty Allah. And I also bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was, is, will always be, the last and the final, Prophet and Messenger, Prophet and Messenger of Almighty Allah, of Almighty Allah. MashaAllah, your affidavits are done, your names is done, our brother Ibrahim Anderson, our roving ambassador, Almighty Allah, reward you, my brother, and only Allah will reward you. We can only make dua for you. He was a pastor, Allah gave him nur, iman, radiance, effulgence, and now he is becoming the roving ambassador. He brings so many people into the fold of Islam. That is what we should do. Allahumma istakhdimna wa la tastabdilna. Ya Allah, use us, use our progeny, use our students, use our family for your deen, O beloved Allah, for Islam. Don't make, Ya Allah, because we didn't make qadr, we didn't appreciate it, then we get kicked out and thereafter somebody else replaces us. وَلَا تَسْتَبْدِلْنَا. And that's what Quran warns us about. وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. You are born as Muslims. You don't do your job, Allah will kick you away and Allah will replace you with other people and they will not be like you. That is what Quran is telling us. So beautiful dua. We'll make dua now, my brother Ibrahim Anderson. Just show them how to raise their hands and inshallah al-Aziz, we make dua. Whenever people embrace Islam, it's a very, very important and a significant occasion. Allah's special mercy is descending. So we should be ones that making dua for ourselves. And last 10 minutes also, we'll make dua. So this will be a short dua, then we'll make long dua, end of the program, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب وصلى الله على النبي الأمي يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة بالإيمان اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين يا رب العالمين قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وتلاوتنا وجميع أعمالنا صالحة يا رب العالمين يا الله our 25 brothers and sisters embrace Islam يا الله keep them on Islam keep us on Islam يا الله let us pass away with Iman and Islam يا الله يا الله our brother Ibrahim Anderson you grant him the from your unlimited treasures, Ya Allah. Give him the greatest optimum reward in this world and the maximum reward in the year after in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Ya Allah, we thank the Capital Group, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and them for sponsoring all these programs. And the message is going out to the world. And we thank all the directors of Radio Al-Ansar International and the directors of Sirius FM as well. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas-sami'u al-alim. Ya Allah, these jutlas, these haramis who are raping our women, murdering our people, and causing mayhem and massacre and slaughter there, you decimate them straight to Jahannam and destroy them, Ya Allah. Allahumma ajdud wat'ataka ala juyushil amerikiyin wa israeliyin wa adaidin, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Okay, coming back to that question, I think the brother there just made such a long story. You could say it very simply. What are the zakatable assets? First thing, so your zakatable assets are your stock in trade. So whatever you bought, provided that is halal, and you made intention, you are going to sell it. So you take the retail price of that, and you make a note of it. All your cash and currency you have, whether it's under your mattress, pala pala, or whether it is in a bank, or whether it's overseas, on any currency, you take all that together. Then third one you must remember is your gold and silver, your Kruger coins and what have you, jewelry. Jewelry, zakat is compulsory, according to Hanafi scholars only, the jewelry of the women and so forth. So according to Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's, la zakat afil huli, on jewelry there will not be zakat, according to Shafi's and them, provided that the lady is using it. Even if she uses it, is it once, twice, thrice a year, so that is fine. So there will be no zakat. Hanafi say that no, there is zakat, and the Hanafi verdict from Dalil point of view, from evidence and proof point of view, is very, very strong on that regard. Anyway, so all that you take, and you must pay immediately. You said more than 1 year has elapsed, so that's a sin that, so you must pay zakat immediately. So far, we don't mean you're sitting so far. So far, yeah, is Arabic, at taswifu min ash-shaytan, to delay, procrastinate, and I'm carrying. We will see others. So all this is shaitaniyat. Remember that in good deeds we must make haste and we must rush into it. So do not delay. If you are owing people and so forth and so on, so we have to look at it, the nature of the debt. If you're owing the bank overdraft, you're owing the bank for bond, you're owing the bank interest, all that cannot be deducted, all haram that is. So things that are halal, you're owing me 1,000, you're owing another one 10,000, you're owing another one 50,000. So what you have to pay in that 1 month or that 1 year maximum. So only that amount must be deducted, not the whole total, grand total. So not that, only that amount you have to pay for that month, some ulama say, or others say for that year. So that is what must be deducted. So in essence, that are what you need to understand.
If I have a large amount of money and I want to go myself to the country, to an overseas country, to hand over my zakah money, am I allowed to book the flight ticket with my zakat money?
Not permissible. You can't be using zakat money for your own ticket and so forth. Many organizations are doing that. It's all haram there. Therefore, I don't trust them. So you must remember, Baji, you want to use your zakat money for your own personal benefit. You say, I'll go to India, to Kashmir. You say you will go to Syria. You say you will go to Burma. You say you will go to Sudan and go or Palestine, and you will go and give them some assistance, but my ticket I will book with my zakat money. That zakat is not paid and your zakat will not be discharged. It's not valid to do so.
I am a professional in my 30s and I have been thinking of pursuing HIFS. Can Mufti Sahib give me some advice?
Very good. Remember, utlubul ilma min al mahdi ila al lahdi. It's not a hadith, it's just a saying, a proverb. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Seek knowledge from the womb to the tomb. You see that? How beautiful it sounds also in English. And Arabic, min al mahdi ila al lahdi. So there's nothing that can prevent you. Hazrat Maulana Umar Palampuri, rahimahullah, he was well in his 60s. He came to Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Nawar Allah Umar Qadahu, and said, Allah Ta'ala has showered me with so many bounties, but one of source, one regret I still have. I didn't do hifz, you know, I didn't become hafiz, and so I want to do it now. So Hazrat Ji gave permission, but he said, Dusre kaam mein khalal na ho. It must not cause, you understand, problems in your other work. So anyway, so he became a Hafiz. He used to read Quran beautifully in his lectures. Every day I heard his lectures in Nizamuddin. For three hours he used to lecture and so forth and so on. So we all should make that intention. If you can't become Hafiz, see, I teach you something nice. If you cannot become Hafiz, now you say, may utupatik you. I'm 70, 80 years old. What are you talking of Hafiz? Okay. You still got the whole second half. You must remember 16, 17 days, now depending whether you're in Makkah, Medina, Aqsa, South Africa, wherever. So therefore, I say 16, 17 days you got left. You got more than one half, right? So why you don't buy a hard surah Yasin, the entire surah? He, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, hadith in Musnad al-Bazzar, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّهَا فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي. It is my heart's desire that this surah, Surah Yasin, chapter 36, 83 verses, should be in the heart of every Muslim person, male, female, and adult and child. So instead of killing time and wasting time fishing and swimming and picnic and braai and all this nonsense and a waste of time activities, use our leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. 1, 2. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the same words, lawadidtu anna fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati, for another surah, and that is Surah Mulk, Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, chapter number 67, 30 verses. Every day you learn two ayats, you will know how happy, elated, delighted he, Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, Khatamun Nabiyeen will be. At least this person made effort and he brought such joy to me. So that is you should be doing. If you can do heaps of the entire Quran Sharif, very good. You can't do that, so at least by heart these two surahs. Next one. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the last two verses of Surah Baqarah, you know Surah Baqarah chapter 2, is the longest surah, longest chapter in the noble Quran, and it comprises 286 verses, okay? So what you should do is, verse 285, 286, hadith in Mustadrak Hakim, the one of Surah Tabarak, also in Mustadrak Hakim, the hadith. So learn it by heart it, fa'allimuhunna, and teach nisa'akum wa abna'akum, teach your wives, your women folk, teach your children, and teach everybody around you over whom you have authority and jurisdiction. For innahuma nurun wa barakatun wa du'aun, it will bring nur, radiance, effulgence in your house, in you. It will bring barakah and blessing, and is du'a. Look at the ending of Surah Baqarah. Last line, wa'afu anna, ya Allah, forgive us. What it means? From the time I became baligh and mature, so Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, all the sins I committed, you forgive me, Allah. وَغْفِلْ لَنَا, currently, presently, all the vices I'm indulging in, you make sattari, you cover and conceal it, O beloved Allah, بِفَضْلِكَ وَرَحْمَتِكَ وَجُودِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ, through your benevolence, grace and mercy. And for the future, warhamna, and envelop us in your mercy, anta maulana, you our protector, fansurna ala al-qawmil kafirin, help us against the people who are the non-Muslims, and so forth. So see what a powerful dua. When we read that, then remember Allah says, fa'altu, 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 I have done so, I have done so. Look at the ayat, how many verses there are in the surah, 286, right? So you break it up, you must remember that 286. Remove the 2, so you got 86. So what is that? So how many Makki surahs are there that were revealed prior to the hijrah, prior the migration to Madinah Munawwara? 86. And if you take away the 6, then you got 28 left there. So remember, 28 surah chapters were revealed in Madinah Munawwara. Some ulama have written this. They said Jibreel alayhi salam was the only angel who could recite the Quran Sharif. All the other angels, they will listen to the Quran, but they could not read it. Therefore, when we have our Hufaz, our Hafiz, they're preparing, they're learning, you're reading Quran Sharif properly, the angels, they throng, and they come around, and they surround that area. They elated and delighted, O insan, O Muslim, O Muslima, O child, you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and you know the surah, that surah. We are the angels, but we don't know it. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that is the grace and the mercy of Almighty Allah. He grants it to whomsoever He wishes. So everything you will find, the lataif, the beauty, the glory of the noble Al-Quran, Allah Jalla Wala give us tawfiq, the ability to practice on it, learn it, practice, propagate, and wonder and ponder over the message of the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarak. Ameen.
Inshallah, we will now go for a break and then resume with our final segment after the break.
Ramadan Q&A, send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM Al Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to this edition of our Q&A, kindly and generously brought to you by the Capital Group with our esteemed Amir and resident Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafizahullah. For our local listeners, if you have a question, WhatsApp it to 084-786-3132. And our international listeners, the number is +27 84 786 3132. Our next question: when observing i'tikaf, I understand that I am allowed to leave the masjid for the purpose of making wudu and to use the toilet. But if I also, during this time, spend time outside the masjid to just, you know, relax or trimming my mustache, will this constitute wasting time outside the masjid and thereby render my i'tikaf null and void?
Be null and void, especially according to the Hanafi scholars. Therefore, all you brothers who are the mu'takifin, those who are going to sit for i'tikaf from next week Sunday, remember that Makkah, Medina, Aqsa will be from Saturday next week, so meaning in the evening. So you need to take cognizance of that. But wherever you are sitting, you must find out from the trustees. And therefore, when I was there now in Trichardt, so now they built a new masjid, so I strongly told the trustees that you must start your 5 daily salat, start your jummah, start your itikaf, everything, mashallah. I hope they do so, inshallah. So in a way like that, and I even got the people ready who can make imamat and who can make itikaf and so forth. Anyway, then when you know you are the trustee, you are the imam, so you must place boards there. You know, this is the boundary of the masjid, masjid boundary. Put words like that in conspicuous places. So then the people who are sitting for i'tikaf must know that they must sit there only, not go around. Now look at this question. Brother says, no, I'll just take a walk a little bit outside. I want to relax. I want to trim my muchi and my moustache. Maybe it's going right in his nostrils or something. Bye. All that you do before you come for i'tikaf. You can't be trimming there. And all that hair is going to fall where? Right inside the masjid and so forth. Definitely not permissible. Or in the courtyard of the masjid. Not permissible, all that. And according to Hanafis, the i'tikaf will be broken. Shafis and them, there's flexibility. But Hanafis, it will break. So therefore, we need to be very, very careful. Read my book, Ramadan Q&A. There's a whole chapter there on i'tikaf and so forth. Many other ulama have written, mashallah. So in that way. But the main thing is, you, the person going for i'tikaf, you must know you can't do 3-4 foolish things. Say, no, bo garmi lagage, I'm perspiring too much now, let me go for a quick shower. You see that? So now that is not permissible. And then another one is this. You see this example. Let me just go for a stroll. I'll just say I'm feeling a bit lonely here in the masjid. So let me take one walk outside. I'll check the garden out and I'll check everything out. And I'll trim my moustache, cut my nails and so on. Your i'tikaf is broken. Bye. So all that you do before you enter into the masjid. So you don't have to worry about these type of issues.
Are we allowed to print our names on musallas?
Yeah, I'm receiving that question also. And I see one Maulana, he went for Umrah, and there in Medina, I think they bought that musalla. He said that something was telling him, you know, one day I met Sheikh Huzaifi. There, no police, no nothing. I spotted him and he was walking alone. So I walked with him. And I told him, Sheikh, how are you? I'm Abdul Qadir, in Arabic, obviously. In Junubi Africa, he got very happy, made dua. So I said, Indi suwalo samah ya Sheikh, that kindly, if you will give me permission, and I beg your indulgence, you know, that I want to ask you a question. Sheikh, you imam, how many years now? I know it's 40 years, but exactly I want to know how much it is. He said, no, utruk, Adal Karam, leave all this. Now that is his tawadu, his humility, his sincerity, ikhlas, and so forth. But anyway, then I jammed him up a little bit. I said, okay. I said, Sheikh, let's rephrase the question. Is it aqal min arba'een or akthar min arba'een? That he laughed. So he said, no, it's akthar, you see. But he didn't make tahdeed, he didn't specify, and so forth. Then I told him, Sheikh, indi, you know, su'al, I got a question for you also. You see these designs in Masjid Nabawi, If you look at them properly, some musallas, remember, they got some designs there that definitely are not. I'm not speaking of the one musalla. I'm speaking of that red musalla across Masjid Nabawi. I don't say everyone, but some places I saw myself. You must remember the design will show you certain things if you can see properly and you got iman. Then you see all the, these Arabs are idiots. Let us be honest about that. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding them, "Waylul lil Arab, woe to the Arabs and destruction to them." Look at how they are selling out Palestine. Look at how they are siding with America and Israel. Majority of them, so they are idiots. Now they make musallas. Who will make the musalla? Some Jew boy, some jutla. If he's not making it, he's the supervisor, he'll do it. He'll put something inside somewhere and so forth. I'm not suggesting for a minute that if you read Salat in Masjid Nabawi, your Salat is not valid and so forth. But some places, you will see some funny signs there and so, you see. So, you know, these people, the Freemasons, they got their own symbols, they got their own signs and all that. So for these people, just to push one inside there, they'll say, what these guys know? These guys don't even understand what is Freemasonry and so forth. So Masuniya in Arabic you call. They say, la, 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 mafishay, mafishay. He's a simple man, you know, he doesn't understand also these things there. One day when Ali met him, he told me personally, personally, he said, I met Sheikh Huzaifi and I told him I went to Brazil and I just came back. He said, "Fein Brazil, Brazil." You see? So sometimes you wonder that, you know, how which world they're living in, you know. So anyway, that you must be very careful about these musallas and that. The Jutlas are haramis, the Indians are haramis, the Iranians are haramis, the Shias I'm speaking about, and Indians, I mean the Hindus and Mushrikeen. They are the ones who make all the smart, smart carpets, Persian carpets and this carpet. They put something inside you won't even know. So the point I'm making here is this. Now we answer the question that you bought the musalla there in Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, Ahmed, Muhammad, Fatima, or whatever. Now you put it on the floor and it's written in Arabic. Number one, I'm asking you, is that showing respect to the Master alayhi salatu salam's name? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ahmed sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fatima, is that showing respect to the honorable daughter of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nami ismi grami honorable name? Then you take Abdullah and you take the famous names of Sahaba and so forth. So that's disrespectful. Quran Sharif taught us in chapter 22 and verse 32, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. When you show respect and reverence to the landmarks and the symbols of Almighty Allah, that's a sign of taqwa and true piety in the heart of that person. Thus you're desecrating it. Secondly, you're reading Salat and you're looking at that there. So your mind will already wander and drift and draw, go here and there. So Almighty Allah teaches us in chapter 23, verse 2, the beginning of the 18th Jews, the 18th Supara, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that the true believers are those, they read their Salat with devotion, concentration, khushu and khudu, as we say in Arabic, and that you are defeating that. Third one is this, that this is self-aggrandizement. You're showing off, this is my name and so forth. So our fatwa is not permissible to read Salat on this type of musallas. Now you bought it, what must you do? Make a nice frame and put it there in your lounge, in your dining room and so forth. But to read Salat, the musalla must be plain and simple. No all those big designs and names and all these things. There is just to make you all fools because they know that gajwa garam che. What is gajwa bo garam che? That the pockets are full. They're coming for shopping, you see, like that. So when we were in Heidelberg now this time here, you see, is 1-2 weeks left now for the final days and Eid and what have you. So then I go to my father, I'll say, you know, Abi, Daddy, or whatever, Ummi, and mother will always side with me. I think that now we must go buy Eid clothes for me. So he'll look at me, you see, and he'll just laugh. He'll say, okay, we'll go Sunday, you see. So like that, then we'll buy a proper outfit, you see. Because you know which kind of outfit I'm talking about. This is when we were very young. Proper suit and tie and dust and kurta business. I'm speaking when I was very young. Not Bali. Before I was Bali also. So tip-top condition. So each day must be shining, you see. So children, they are like that. So you must remember. We're not justifying it. I'm just trying to tell you how people, they get all these things here. So for you to guy all these musallas with your name and all that and read salat is not permissible.
Is it correct that the area between Rukn al-Yamani and Hajar Aswad is a garden of Jannah?
Remember that you have mixed everything up. Rukn al-Yamani to Hajar Aswad is the southern side of the Baytullah. And the portion between Nabi alayhi salatu salam's minbar and pulpit, where the pulpit is today, and the house Mubarak, and that is, you must remember, the green fence there. So I told you this morning in the news, views and interviews, in the year 888, Sultan Qatibai, the whole Masjid Nabawi burnt, and the Jasad Athar, and the Mubarak body of the Master alayhi salam was protected by divine protection. Quran says, Wallahu ya'simuka min an-nas, and the green dome. So we must be clear on this. Then he rebuilt it, refurbished it, and the green fence is from his time, 557 years ago. So that portion, Nabi alayhi salam said, ma baina bayti wa mimbari rawdatun min riyadil jannah, the portion between my house and my pulpit, that is one of the gardens of Jannah. And that is authentic hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, where Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, various places. And second one, you should know the directions of the Baytullah. By the Baytullah, Rukn Yamani to Hajar Aswad, where you read Rabbana Atina, there's a southern direction. And where the Hatim, where you have the semicircle and so forth, so that is the northern side of the Baytullah. And where the golden gate and golden door is, that is the eastern side where you enter from. And then the one wall that is left, so that is the western wall. So that is how you will know which direction you are in and so forth. But to say that portion between Rukn Yamani and Hajar Aswad is one of the gardens of Jannah, there is no dalil for that. In Islam, we have a law, manidda'a shay'an fa'alayhi dalil. When you claim something, you have to substantiate, corroborate it. Jib dalil, bring your dalil and evidence from Quran, Sunnah, Sahaba, and so forth and so on. Yes, we got Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, al-baytu kulluhu barakah. Al-baytu kulluhu barakah. The entire Baytullah is filled with barakah and blessing. So therefore, wherever you touch the Baytullah, so that will be permissible. But the best place to touch it for the man will be when you go for multazam, that you perform your tawaf before the 2 rakat salat, after the 2 rakat salat, whatever is convenient, and see the crowd, you must gauge it. So between the golden door, not beneath the golden door, between the golden door and Hajar Aswad, then if you're big like me in size, then there'll be 2-3 people only fitting there. If you're small, then 4 people, you understand? And thin guys and so small, lightweights. So then 2, 3, 4 maybe people can fit in there. You stretch your hands and arms out. You put your right cheek against the Baytullah and your chest firmly against, you must, the Baytullah. Multazam apne sine ko Baytullah Kaaba Musharraf se chipat lena. So that is multazam, that to place, you stuck and stick your chest and your body against the Baytullah. So therefore it's called multazam. So that's the best place. We made so many times play dua there. But now, you know, we don't go first of all. But nowadays the crowd is so big and the police is there. Then the worst part is the women are gapping in there. So therefore from far we just stand when we used to go. Because once the women come in, then it's a lot of problems. Because they will squeeze in, they will touch you and you will touch them and a lot of stories and so forth. So we must learn what to do and fulfill our duty with beauty.
Does one pay fitra on behalf of a deceased person?
No fitra on behalf of deceased person. And remember that if people were alive and so forth, you pay. Yes, some people last year Eid, they didn't pay. Now they remembered. So now, but that person is alive. So you pay on behalf of that person there. But remember, it won't be zakatun maqbula. It will be sadaqatun minas sadaqat. It will just be a charity. And the hadith is in Abu Dawood. It's like our people. I give you a very similar example of that, what we call Ashba wa Nazair. So our people now, yesterday, the daughter got married, right? So now she's gone to live with her husband, everything last night, everything. Maybe they consummated the marriage or whatever last night. So now they say the walima will take place after Eid. The walima will take place. So I say, bye. It's after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you got walima. So that is not walima. That is this ordinary da'wat you are giving. Walima will be after the husband and wife met. And they went into khalwa and privacy the same day or the next day or the day after. So like that, 2-3 days, that is walima. After 10 days, 15 days, 17, 20 days, that is not walima. That is an ordinary da'wat and invitation. So we should be clear on all these issues of Islam.
Can I pay my zakat for my madrasa fees for poor children?
If the children are really poor, and what about the parents? If the parents are rich, then you must remember they must pay, and especially if they are minor children and so forth, then to give zakat is not permissible, if the father is rich and so forth. But let's assume that the children are poor, the parents are poor, living hand to mouth and so forth, and you say you will pay for them 1,000 rand a month, 500 rand a month, whatever it is, so all that would be permissible and acceptable.
Insha'Allah, we will have one more question and then Mufti Saab could give us some advices. I have been working with my husband since we got married. He doesn't give me an allowance nor any salary. Should I ask for a salary?
If you are working with your husband and all loose arrangements and he's not giving you anything, you're working from the house, not working in the shop, and that's not permissible. So if you are working in the house, you're doing all the books and all the reconciling and whatever you and so forth and so on. So in a case like that, if he doesn't want to give you wages, then you must help yourself. Hinda came to Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She is the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. All sahaba sahabiya, yeah. She said rajulun shahihun, rajulun mumsikun, rajulun misik, like that. So the words were used is a little bit hard with money. This. So Nabi alayhi salam told her, for the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, that khudi bil ma'ruf, you help yourself. Help yourself means that you take with one hand, not you start filling up bags and bags with both hands and so forth. So in Islam, there'll be moderation in everything. So now you must tell that your husband, where's my wages? He said, no, this, that. So you start helping yourself, so that will be permissible. Because you are doing so much labor, rendering so much service, and he says, no, I'm giving you roti, kapra, makan, I'm giving you all this food and best dwelling and house and, you know, medication and medicine and what have you. So but that is your duty to do. That is no favor you are doing. So therefore, that in a case like that, if he continues, then you help yourself. So with a reasonable amount, so that would be acceptable and permissible. Okay, we are reaching the halfway mark. Look at the moon tonight and you will see it is Laylatul Badr, the 14th night, shining in its glory and beauty. So that is what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to teach us. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is Sahabi, so obviously we never met Sahaba, but when you read the books. So Qimatul Zaman Indal Ulama, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah writes, when the sun used to set, so he, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his face used to become somber and serious, and his students, people would ask, what's wrong? He said, Naqaswa fihi ajali, my lifespan is decreasing. Walam yazid fihi amali, walam yazid fihi amali, and my righteous deeds are not increasing. So imagine what a beautiful answer. We will give long, long lectures and so forth. In 1 minute, he finished it up. So now you must remember that each one of us as well, we going nearer and nearer towards the Eid and towards our death, towards the year after. Are we really prepared to meet Almighty Allah? We all know the answer, because we have committed so many sins and vices and so forth. So therefore, let us take this remaining part, the second half of Ramadan, very, very serious. And Ramadan, I told you before, means to burn and incinerate the sins. How many sins have we burned and incinerated? So these are all questions. Did you make anybody smile today? Did you give out some charity? So these are all issues. Let us make dua for Gaza. Allah Jalla Wala destroy the entire Jewish entity of the rogue regime of Israel. And Almighty Allah destroy these hypocrites and these murtads among the Arab world. First, we make dua, Allah give them guidance. If there's no guidance from them, Allah must decimate and destroy them with their kingdoms and their fiefdoms and so forth. And Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjid al-Aqsa, protect all our masajid and mosques throughout the world, inshallah al-Aziz. I'm so tired now. Let me make dua and then I'm going to sleep before Asr. So you will receive the podcast which Lucky will prepare about just before Asr, inshallah al-Aziz. 5 o'clock, 5:15, around there, 1 hour you must give me, and then 1 hour or so. And we will send you 3 parts, 2 parts the Q&A, and the 1 part where the 25 people embrace Islam, courtesy of our brother Ibrahim Anderson. Allah Jalla Wala accept all of us. Al-Hameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma la uhsi thanan alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma laka shukru kullu. Walaka alhamdu kullu. Walaka almulku kullu. Biyadika alkhayr. Innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والإسيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى ربنا تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وجميع أعمالنا صالحة يا رب العالمين يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے يا الله ستاری کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے يا الله ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما دیجئے يا الله یہودی نے ظلم ستم اتنے کی يا الله ان کو ہلاک اور برباد کر دیجئے يا رب العالمين اللهم عليك باليهود الظالمين المحتلين الغاصبين اللهم عليك بالمستضعفين اللهم عليك باليهود والنصارى اللهم انصر المظلومين والمستضعفين يا رب العالمين اللهم أهلك آل سعود كما أهلكت عاد وثمود اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم ووسع مدخلهم وأكرم نزلهم ونقهم من الذنوب والخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من دنس. قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا ربنا تقبل منا صيامنا وتلاوتنا وجميع أعمالنا الصالحة يا رب العالمين. Ya Allah, the people who are gone for Umrah, gone for Medina Munawwara, gone to Aqsa, or they're on the verge of going, Ya Allah, accept their journey, accept their trip, Ya Allah, accept their ibadat, Ya Allah, liberate Masjid al-Aqsa from the enemies of Islam and humanity, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, help those in Gaza, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, the children are starving, Ya Allah, they're getting bombed, they're getting murdered, now the women are getting raped, Ya Allah, send your your rahmat, send your nusra, send your barakah to them. Allahumma ahlik al-yahud, Allahumma bi alayka bihim ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma sallit alayhim kalban min kilabik ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma arina ajayib qudratik fa innahum la yujizunak. Allahumma ahsim adada waqtulhum badada wa la tubqi minhum ahada. Allahumma inna nasaluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين آمين آمين. Inshallah, let me give you the programs that will follow. First, 4 o'clock will be the news. Thereafter will be the Adhan for Asr. And thereafter, my brother Hafiz Yusuf Kala. And thereafter, Tawbah or Istighfar. So this is in the Urdu language, 4 to 5, by Mawla Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi. So 5 o'clock will be Mawlana Khalid, inshallah, till 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock to 6:20 or so will be Hafiz Wadi. And then the Masnoon Surahs, that is Surah Sabah. So, sorry, they got here Surah Dukhan and Surah Sajda, Surah Waqiyah, Surah Mulk. And thereafter, remember, will be that is our Maulana Musa Lahir, and he will speak for about 20-25 minutes. And before the Isha Adhan will be Muazzahid Khan, and then we go to Shawood Majid Salihin for the Taraweeh Salat, inshaAllah Al-Aziz, and then to Makkah Mukarramah. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make it easy, and Allah accept us all. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ramadan Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.